You may recall from the last talk that Vimalakirti is sick, and he's sick out of skillful means, sick out of great compassion. And many people come to visit him, come to inquire after his health. They're all laymen, and he teaches them. So far, we saw in greater detail last week. Now, at the beginning of chapter 3, we find Vimalakirti at home, in his own room, lying on his bed. And as he lies there, a thought passes through his mind. Or perhaps we should say, he allows a thought to pass through his mind, because after all, he's a very advanced bodhisattva, you may recollect. And what is that thought? The thought is, I am sick, lying on my bed, in pain. Yet the Tathagata, the saint, the perfectly accomplished Buddha, does not consider me or take pity upon me and sends no one to inquire after my illness. Now, where was the Buddha all this time? The Buddha was staying in Amrapali's garden on the outskirts of the city of Vaishali, and he was teaching the great assembly of arahats, bodhisattvas, and others. And the Buddha, even as he was sitting there, even as he was teaching, he knew the thought that was passing through Vimalakirti's mind. We may say it's as though a sort of game, a little game was being played between the two, Vimalakirti and the Buddha. Because, after all, Vimalakirti was not really sick. And presumably the Buddha must have known that too. At least Vimalakirti was not sick in the ordinary sense. Presumably the Buddha knew that too. So the Buddha was quite happy, so to speak, to play his part in this game. He was quite happy to play ball, as we say. So what does the Buddha do, knowing this thought that is passing through Vimalakirti's mind? He says, Shariputra. In the Mahayana sutras, of course, it's always poor old Shariputra. He says, Shariputra, please go and inquire after the illness of Vimalakirti. Or as we would say, go and inquire after his health. There's an interesting difference of idiom here. Shariputra is, of course, one of the two leading monk disciples of the Buddha, the other being Mahamoggallayana. Sariputra, of course, is an arahat. He's gained individual emancipation, that is to say, for himself alone. In a sense, he's liberated, at least liberated from the ordinary passions, liberated from conditioned existence. But what does he say when asked to go and see Vimalakirti? What does Sariputra say? He says, I am reluctant to go. A more literal translation would be, a quite literal translation would be, I'm not very keen on going. He doesn't actually refuse to go, because after all, it's the Buddha who is asking him to go, but he would much rather not go. And he explains why. He says that one day he was sitting at the foot of a tree in the forest, as good monks are supposed to do, or at least were in ancient India, and he was absorbed, he says, in contemplation, deeply absorbed in contemplation. And suddenly Vimalakirti came along, and he said, that's not the way to absorb yourself in contemplation. And he proceeded to explain what absorption in contemplation really was. And the explanation was so profound that Shariputra was left dumbfounded. He was quite unable to reply, he says.
he remains silent.
And this is why he is unwilling to go and ask Vimalakirti about his illness. He's had some experience of Vimalakirti before. He's not very keen on encountering him again. So the Buddha tries again. Probably the Buddha's quite enjoying this little game. The Buddha asks Mahamudgalyayana to go. But strange to say, Mahamudgalyayana is also reluctant, because he too has had some experience of Vimalakirti. One day he says he was teaching the Dharma to some householders, and Vimalakirti came along. And he told Mahamudgalyayana how the Dharma should really be taught to householders. And Mahamudgalyayana also was left dumbfounded. And in this way, the Buddha asks all the great Arahat disciples to go. He asks Mahakashyapa. He asks Subhuti. He asks Purna. He asks Katyayana. He asks Aniruddha. He asks Upali. He asks Rahula. He asks Ananda. But one and all, they're reluctant to go. They've all some previous experience of dear old Vimalakirti. He's exposed the spiritual shortcomings of all of them. He's exposed the spiritual shortcomings of the Hinayana, taken literally. He's exposed the spiritual shortcomings of the Hinayana, taken as an end in itself. So what does the Buddha do? He turns to the Bodhisattvas, who are also in the great assembly, also in the congregation. And he asks Maitreya to go and inquire about Vimalakirti's illness. Maitreya, of course, is the leading bodhisattva. A bodhisattva, for the benefit of those who haven't perhaps been before, a bodhisattva is one who has dedicated himself to supreme, perfect enlightenment for the benefit of all. And Maitreya, as the leading bodhisattva, as the future Buddha, at present, according to Buddhist tradition, resides in the Tushita Devaloka, the Tushita heaven, the contented heaven. And he's waiting for the time to come for him to descend to earth for his last life. That is to say, the life in which he will gain himself supreme, perfect enlightenment as a Buddha. But even Maitreya, is reluctant to go, because he too has encountered Vimalakirti. He says that one day he was talking to the gods of the Tushita heaven, and they were talking about the stage of non-regression of the great bodhisattvas. That is to say, the stage of no falling back, which I can assure you is a very advanced stage indeed. Vimalakirti came along and he said, Maitreya, the Buddha has prophesied that after one more birth you will attain supreme perfect enlightenment. But what is the nature of that birth? Is it really past or present or future? And he goes on to show with great dialectical skill that it cannot be any of these. Cannot be past, cannot be present, cannot be future. He shows, in fact, that the notion of birth itself is self-contradictory. He shows that the notion of birthlessness is also self-contradictory. He shows that there's no such thing as non-regression, no such thing as the attainment of enlightenment, not in reality, no such thing as enlightenment itself at all. And he shows that there's no such thing as Maitreya, no such thing as a future Buddha. It's not surprising that Maitreya too was rendered speechless. He is therefore reluctant to go to Vimalakirti and inquire about his illness. So the Buddha asks Prabhavyuha to go. But Prabhavyuha has had a similar experience. One day, he just happened to meet Vimalakirti. So Vimalakirti asked him where he was coming from. Apparently quite a simple and innocent question. So Prabhavyuha replied that he was coming from Bodhimanda. So Bodhimanda means the place of enlightenment. In other words, he said he was coming from Buddha Gaya, where the Buddha gained supreme perfect enlightenment, and in particular coming from what is called the Vajrasana, the so-called diamond throne on which the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree at Buddha Gaya when he gained enlightenment. So that's where he was coming from, he said. So Vimalakirti had thereupon explained to him at some length what the Bodhimanda really was. He had explained it was not a place at all, but a state of mind. He had explained that it's something from which there is no question of the Bodhisattva coming at all, because he's in it all the time. Everything that he does is an expression of it. So not unnaturally, Prabhavyuha too was rendered speechless. So he too is reluctant to go to Vimalakirti. He doesn't particularly want another dose of the same medicine. So in this way, the Buddha asks all the great bodhisattvas to go. He asks Jagatindara, asks Suddhata. But they too have had their own experiences of Vimalakirti, and they too are unwilling to go. In the end, the Buddha asks Manjushri, Manju Ghosha, the Bodhisattva of wisdom himself, to go. But that is another story, as they say. And what that story is, we shall be seeing in our next talk, the week after next. Meanwhile, Vimalakirti has exposed the spiritual shortcomings of Maitreya and the rest. He's exposed the spiritual shortcomings of the Mahayana, taken literally. He's exposed the spiritual shortcomings of the Mahayana, taken as an end in itself.